Thank God once again that he has blessed each and every one of us to come out here this morning to the place of worship, to worship him in spirit and in truth. There's no doubt in my mind that someone was living yesterday is not living today. It's a testament to you and I that God is still shining his grace upon us on this side of time. So let us not take this time for granted. The long suffering of God, the Bible teaches us, bring it repentance. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 11, the Bible says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do it with the ability that God give it. Then God in all things may be praised, that he might get the glory through his Son Jesus Christ, to be praised and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what I hope to do this morning, is to speak the word of God to each and every one this morning, the oracles of God. And the Bible tells us that the word of God is perfect. In the old book of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. So add not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and you be found a liar. In the old book of Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Was not in man that walketh can direct his steps. So we all need guidance. And God has given it to us by giving us his word, the word of God. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, what if some do not believe the faith of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without void? The Bible says, yea, nay. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So anytime anyone speak or says anything that we cannot find in this Bible, regardless how great of a speaker they may be, they're lying. The Bible says, let God be true, and every man a liar. So we speak this morning the word of God. My subject this morning is the one baptism, and Brother Dennis says, is this part two? Because those of you that were here the last time I preached on the one baptism, but I did not finish that lesson, and so I hope and pray this morning that I will finish the last part of this lesson. On last time I preached, I didn't get to the kingdom of God, which all of us that are member of the Church of Christ, we are in the kingdom of God on earth. But the Bible also speaks about this kingdom that's in heaven, and we will deal with that this morning. I want to use these passages of scripture here for the scripture reading. But before I go there, I just want to say this morning that we thank God for our visitors that are visiting with us this morning. We hope and pray that something will be said from the Word of God that will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds. If it does nothing, God's Word, it just calls us just to think as we journey through this life. Notice what the book of Matthew, chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1, 2, 3 for the scripture reading. Notice what the Bible says. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Won't let these scriptures this morning serve as a scripture reading. But before that we go any further into this lesson, we always count it as a blessing as well as an opportunity to go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us prepare our minds to go to the Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. I'd like for us to go back to the scripture reading again in the book of Matthew chapter 3 and look at those passages again. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Notice what Matthew teaches. He says, in those days came John the Baptist. And I know that you know there are a lot of churches that are named Baptists. Prominent churches. But John will tell them today that he wasn't qualified to have a church to be built in his name. In order for you to be a church builder, you have to let someone crucify you, nail you to the cross, and you be buried, and you raised on the third day, and you could be a qualified church builder. Jesus Christ is the only one that can build a church. And we see now in these passages of scripture here, John the Baptist, which was not his last name. He was John the Baptist because he baptized people. He was given that name as John the Baptist. And we see churches out here in this world that have this name as Baptist. I want us to notice something. The Bible says that John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And the Bible is speaking of in the wilderness is that this was a thinly inhabited place where John was living. What we call out in the country, not well populated. This was a rocky area that John lived in. He lived near Jordan. That's where he baptized people in the river of Jordan. The Bible says that, and saying in verse 2, repent. Now, the great profession was that John baptized. The great commandment was that of repentance. That's what John was telling the people to do was to repent. And the Bible tells us that repentance is more than sorrow. You know, just because that we got caught doing something wrong and we're sorry for that, that is not repentance. You see, the Bible tells us that it is godly sorrow that bringeth repentance. Because you remember Judas Iscariot that betrayed Jesus Christ? He was sorrowful. He was remorse for giving Jesus up. But he didn't repent. He became so remorseful that he went out and hanged himself. But his mind never changed of that deed that he had done. I want to look at this passage of scripture in the book of 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. Now let's look at something here. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Notice what the Bible teaches concerning repentance. It says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Which means that when we are godly sorrowful,
we change our will, our mind. We change our direction. That's godly sorrow. It brings about repentance. But notice what it says here. He said, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, people that are sorry, they become remorseful, but they never change. Just like Judas Iscariot. He became remorseful, and he ended up killing himself, committed suicide. The Bible says the world sorrow worketh death. It doesn't work at salvation. It doesn't work at repentance. So that's what true repentance is the change of heart. Now I want us just to look at these passages of scripture back in Matthew chapter 3 once again. Notice what John said, that the kingdom of God was at hand. In other words, he says, then John saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the kingdom was on its way down from heaven. This is heaven. Earth. Kingdom of heaven. John says was at hand. God's kingdom was coming down from heaven to earth. And because it was coming from heaven, it needed a heavenly king. And Jesus did not come from the dust. He came from heaven. He didn't come from dust, he came from heaven. He came all the way from heaven down to earth to save us from our sin. And the Bible tells us that just one baptism, and that's what the Bible speaks of, is that where we have to be if we want to be saved. Brother Dennis gave a beautiful lesson on last Lord's Day on heaven. How beautiful it is. But you see, we got all these man-made institutions out here teaching different things about the kingdom of God. And you can't find it in the Bible. All these different names of churches, you can't find it in the Bible. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 16, I believe around 18, he said, I will build my church. And the Bible declares that he only built one. And this is what he's coming back for. When he comes back, he's coming back for his church, the eternal bride, to meet him in the air. And we have to be where salvation is. Jesus came all the way down at the heavenly. John says that he wasn't even worthy to lace Jesus' shoes. You got people now that have established churches in John's name called Baptists. John said, I'm not even worthy to lace the shoes of Jesus Christ. John wasn't a savior. Jesus is our savior. Now I want us to notice something here. I want us to look at, as we come to the one baptism, let us look at the book of Romans, and I want to look at verse 3 for a moment. Romans 6 and verse 3. We read a few passages of scriptures there. And we'll see what it means to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Notice in the book of Romans chapter 6, and I'll start with verse 3. The Bible says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. It says, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He said, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The Bible says, for he, in verse 7, is dead. For he that is dead is free from sin. But now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. The Bible says in verse 11, says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible teaches us that this one baptism is a burial. And we are buried in the watery grave of baptism into Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. That's the one baptism that saved us. That's the only baptism that God recognized, is that when we are baptized into the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the one baptism that the Bible mentioned of. I want us to look at something else. Let me just give a little meat in that passage of scripture. You know, we talk about John baptism. John baptism was repentance of sin. He baptized with water. Now, God sent John to do that. That was precious. John set the straight way, letting people know to get right, because the kingdom of God was coming. It was coming down to us. But it had not come until Jesus Christ was crucified on that cross. It was at hand. It was near. But it had not come. Jesus Christ coming our way down from heaven to earth to save us. John said it was at hand. But we know that the kingdom had not come then. Now notice this in the passage of scriptures. In the book of Galatians, and we'll look at that passage of scripture, Galatians chapter 3, notice what it says here. Verse 26 and 27. Well, let's start at verse 24. Galatians 3 and verse 24. It said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law, the old law, the Bible teaches us, was our schoolmaster. Back then, when kids, little children went to school, they had a tutor. They had a person that took them to school, the schoolmaster. The Bible says that's what the law was for us. But when Jesus Christ came, we didn't need the schoolmaster anymore. Had Jesus Christ. But the law brought us to Christ. Now notice what the Bible says. It says that we might be justified by faith. He said, but after the faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Verse 26 says that, for we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we are baptized, that one baptism into Christ, that's where we put on Christ. And not before. Not before. You see, some people think that the kingdom that has come down from heaven, they think that they can attach themselves to the church. Or they can come by a right-hand fellowship. Or they can come by Christian experience. They can pray the sinner's prayer. And they can become a member of this church. But the Bible tells us that the only way that we can become a member of the Church of Christ is that we have to be born into it. And that's that one baptism that we're talking about this morning. One baptism. The Bible says we're justified by faith. And the word justified means that we have been forgiven by faith because we've done what God has asked us to do. I want to look at another passage of scripture here. I want us to look at the book of St. John chapter 3. And we look at verse 5. St. John chapter 3. Notice what Jesus said to Nicodemus. St. John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered him. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You got to be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus thought that Jesus was talking about going back into his mother's womb and to be baptized and to be born again, but Jesus let him know that he was speaking spiritually. You have to be born again to become a member of the Church of Christ, and the kingdom that God brought down from heaven into earth for us to be saved in, this is where we have to be. But you know, religion in this world and people are teaching that you can be saved some other way, that all these other man-made institutions out here, you can be saved in. Bible tells us there's only one way. And Jesus says he is that way. In St. John chapter 14 and verse 6. I want us to notice something here. You see, we have to know something about this kingdom that John was talking about that's coming from heaven. We have to know something about it. The Bible mentions that there's a kingdom in heaven and also there's a kingdom on earth, which is the church. The church is God's kingdom on earth. And we need to know something about that. I want us to notice what the book says in the book of Daniel. And we'll take a look at the book of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Let's notice what the Bible teaches there. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44 concerning the kingdom. He said, "In the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom," notice this, "which shall never be destroyed." It says, "And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Talking about the church. God's kingdom will stand forever. You know, people have tried to get rid of the Bible. They tried. But God's word has been tested. And it stands forever. And the more that you rub on it, the brighter that it becomes. The Bible says it will stand forever. Talking about the kingdom of God. Let us look at Daniel again while we're there. Daniel chapter 7. We'll look at verse 13 and 14. Talking about the vision, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And Daniel was able to interpret that dream. Notice what it says in verse 13. Daniel chapter 7. Say, "And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before me. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His kingdom is an everlasting dominion which shall not be passed away, shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." It's talking about the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom that came down from heaven to earth, which is the church. And that's the kingdom that we have to know something about. Because you see, the devil don't want people to know this. Is that this kingdom kingdom is the only kingdom that will save us. This is where salvation is. Back in the olden days, God put salvation in the ark. And all those people that didn't believe that day that one day was going to rain, they perished. The Bible said that there were only 8 souls that were saved. Noah and his family. Just like when we tell people today that in order for you to be saved, you have to be in the church that Christ is. His kingdom. People look at you like you got 2 heads on your shoulders. Because the devil has deceived many. You know, that's what the devil is. He is deceived. Back in the days of Noah, the Bible says that all the people's minds were evil continually. The devil had deceived that whole world back then. But there was only 8 souls that were saved. Just like the devil is deceiving people now, having them believe that you can be saved anywhere. Just as long as you believe that God and the Son of Jesus Christ, no matter where you are, you can be saved. Only you just call on Him. That God will save you. There's not the one thing wrong with that. The Bible doesn't teach that. We have to look into God's Word and find out what the Word of God teaches. That's where we have to look. I want to look at the book of St. John, chapter 6. Notice what the Bible teaches in St. John, chapter 6, in verse 45. This is what it teaches. That's why I say we have to know something about the kingdom. And the lesson that I spoke on the last time is that what were you taught before that you were baptized? That was the important question. What were you taught before you went down in that water? Notice what the Bible says. It says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto him. So we have to be taught. You have to have someone to teach you the right way. Remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch? He's a man that was coming from Jerusalem that had traveled 1,000 miles to worship God, and on his way back, he had purchased a scroll of the book of Isaiah. They tell me that it was hard to come by a scroll in that day and time. But he had invested in this scroll. And he was reading his Bible. And he was reading Isaiah chapter 53. And do you know that that man didn't understand what he was reading? But he was searching. And when we search, the Bible says God will reward us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He will reward of them that diligently seek Him. So when you're truly seeking God, God will send somebody to you that you may know the truth. When you truly seek. Notice something else. Well, how is it that we are forgiven of our sins? Notice what the Bible teaches in the book of James. And we'll go there, the book of James, chapter 1, in verse 18, I believe. James, chapter 1, in verse 18. The Bible says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Now, this is how our sins are forgiven. We hear the word of God, and the word brings us to the water. That's what the word does. And the word is God's Holy Spirit. It brings us to the water. The Bible says that of His own will He begat us with the the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. And some translations say creation. The word brings us to the water. That one baptism when we hear it. That's what the word does. And brothers and sisters and friends, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. We'll read a passage of scripture there, we come to the conclusion. Book of Matthew, chapter 28. And I start with verse 16. The Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, the Bible says they worship him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Notice what he said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this world. Brothers and sisters, Jesus taught the disciples what it took to be saved. They had this great commission, is to go out into all the world and to teach them, making disciples of every nation. I want us to understand this morning, that great commission comes all the way down to us. Once we learn the truth, it becomes our responsibility to get the gospel before those that are lost. That's our responsibility as Christians. You know, at one time, we were on fire. But somehow, in some way, we lost our fire. It'd be fire coming from the pulpit. Fire coming from the pew. We need to be out here sharing the gospel with people, those that are lost. Don't let this year pass us by. God has blessed us that we're going into the year 2019. Let us just tell people about the gospel. Just invite them over to hear the gospel, because this is the only way that people will deal with the fundamentals of the gospel, is that they have to hear it. Now, I'm not a prophet, but I can predict. If we don't take the gospel to people, they won't obey it. I can predict that. And this is something we have to do. On fire with the word of God. We know God's plan of salvation. If you don't know it, then just invite people over to let them hear the gospel, and they can deal with the fundamentals of the gospel. I've only heard one gospel sermon, and when I heard it, I knew it wasn't true, because I had my Bible searching. It just took one gospel sermon. That's all it took for me. And I never forget this. I remember it like yesterday. When I heard the gospel sermon, I had a decision to make. It's whether I was going to obey it or reject it. And on my way home, I was talking to the closest one to me, my wife. And I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to go back next Sunday, and I'm going to get baptized. And Sandra said, hold on, wait a minute. Not so fast. Let's keep searching. I said, we've already heard the truth. There's nothing else to search for. Once you hear the truth, there's nothing else for you to look for in God's word. We have a decision to make, and that's what we have to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. On the kingdom of God, the church. This is where salvation is. And then his Lord, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours this morning. You know, and I would be remiss this morning if I preached the gospel unto you and didn't tell you what to do to be saved. The Bible tells us there's five steps in God's plan of salvation. Number one, we're to hear it. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then number two, will to believe it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek. Then after we hear God's word and we believe it, the Bible says we ought to repent. Luke 13 and 3. Shall tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he repeats it again in verse 5. Shall tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then after repentance comes with change of heart, we're to make a good confession. Good confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a good confession. The Bible teaches us that in the book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. So if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, so thou shalt be saved. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And here's where the part that the devil don't want people to understand is that one baptism. I was deceived. I was taught once that I was saved before that I was baptized. And I lived like that for 27 years, believing that I was saved before I was baptized. But the Bible tells us that baptism is what saves us. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, once for some time disobedient, once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, therein few, eight souls were saved by water. God used water in two forms. He used it to destroy, and also he used it to save. He said, the like figure, baptism does also now save us. Baptism. That one baptism. He said, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. In other words, when we go down into the watery grave of baptism, it doesn't affect our flesh at all. The old man is still there. We're going to have to deal with it until we leave him. We're going to have to deal with the flesh and the spirit. But it's our heart that we have a good conscience toward the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is that we have done what Jesus told us to do. Our conscience has been cleansed. We have been freed from sin when we obey God's word. And as we walk in the newness of life and we stumble and fall, the Bible tells us that we need to repent, make the confession, and ask for the prayers that we might be reinstated back into the fold. While we're seeing the total selection this morning, if anyone is subject to the gospel in any manner, you may make the good confession.